Let's bow our heads together now and pray our prayer for illumination. Praying as one. O God, Most High, everlasting Lord, mighty and lifted up, grant to us your Holy Spirit that in these words of Holy Scripture, our hearts might be lifted up and our minds set on heavenly realities, that contemplating the reign of our ascended Lord, we might long to be with him and enter into the joy of his eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture lesson comes to us from the book of Revelation today, and I might add some of the most beautiful words in the book of Revelation. If you're able, please follow along in your Bibles or up on the screen. I'll first be reading from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Thanks be to God for his word. And I invite all the friends up for children's service. I'll tell you, Henry, you are quick. Super fast. I think so. Everybody else? Oh, Kate, I thought you might be coming. So how's everybody? Henry, I'm going to need your help today. So I'm so happy to see you, Liam and Emily. It's so beautiful. All the friends, so great to see. Holland, you feeling better? We missed you last week. We're so glad. And we hear you have a big trip, you and Henry, right? Going on in the car today? I'm so excited for you. So excited. I know Mommy and Daddy are so excited for that car ride, too. Can't wait. So, well, listen, let me just tell you. Remember I told you 2 weeks ago, you were all up here. Liam, you weren't here, but I was talking about how I love summer. Summer is my favorite time of the year. And you know what I especially love to do in summer? Well, I actually love to do this all year, but in summer it's my favorite, to take walks. And my favorite place to take a walk is on the beach. So I have a bag of treasures here. I call them forever treasures when I find something on the beach. So I have a whole bag full. I need your help, so I need everybody to hold. So I found some awesome shells. Em, could you hold that for me, please? So I found clam shells, and I found scallop shells, and I found shells that, look at these shells. Look what's happened with all the water, from the waves going over the shells. They start changing their appearance a little bit, don't they? Look at all these. I actually even found some cool rocks. Look at this. I know, very cool, huh? Sparkling. It's sparkling. And a snail. Well, actually, you know what, Henry? I found such a huge snail. A clamshell was almost this big. I brought it to my camp to show everybody. It was so special. And snails, look, I have a big snail shell and a little snail shell. And look how special they are. So different. And then, you know, it's fun to get out a magnifier. Did you ever get a magnifier out? This is something great you can do at home. So you take the magnifier and you look at it, and then what happens? What do you see? It's really big with that. Yeah, everybody's going to have a turn. You can really examine it, too. I love that word, examine. That means we're looking at it really closely. So I'm going to bring these treasures back to my classroom when we go back to school. So, you know, everywhere I go, I see beautiful treasures. I call these treasures because God has made such a beautiful world for us to live in. And then I look at all of you, and you're so beautiful and so different, like all of these shells and things I found at the beach. And I look out here, look at all the beautiful friends, all the people out here. Look at them. See them? See their beautiful, happy faces? Pastor Chris over here. Didn't God make us all so special and so beautiful? So guess what Daddy's going to talk to us about today? The title of his sermon is God's Dwelling Place, which is so much more beautiful than we could ever imagine. But right now, we live in this beautiful place that God gave us. Our world is so beautiful. So whenever you're out and you're in the car driving to Iowa or driving back to your homes, I know Emily's going on a special trip to Bermuda. I know. I don't know. Do I want to go in your car for all those hours or hop on the plane with Emily to Bermuda? That would be a tough choice. Tough choice. Where am I going to go tomorrow? But I'm so excited to go back to my house today, Henry, and look at the beautiful world around me. So we want to thank God whenever you're out. Thank God for this beautiful, beautiful world. And for the beautiful world one day we'll have all together in heaven. So let's thank him, okay? Can we all fold our hands? And you know what? All of you, I will let you pick something to bring home, okay, out of my bag of treasures, all right? So let's pray. Let's fold our hands. Dear God, we are so thankful, especially for these beautiful friends here today, for these beautiful children that you have created and every one of your children here today. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful world, Lord. And help us to make it more beautiful by showing your love to everyone that we meet. And we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful place you have here on earth and the beautiful world in heaven with you one day. Thank you that you live within us each and every moment. Help us to appreciate everything that you have given to us, which are gifts created by you. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So about 30 years ago, a struggling farmer was wondering how he was going to make ends meet. The weather was not good, field full of corn, soybeans, when a voice from heaven said to him, "If you build it, he will come." So the farmer obviously jumped to the conclusion that the only thing that this message could possibly mean is that he should clear out his cornfields and build a baseball field in the middle of Iowa. And when he did, a mysterious figure emerged from the cornfields, stepping in his 1920s Chicago White Sox jersey. Shoeless Joe Jackson. And he said to the farmer, "Is this heaven?" The farmer said, "No, it's Iowa." I couldn't help but think of that when Henry came blazing down the aisle this morning saying, "We're going to Iowa." It's like Revelation 21 and 22 all wrapped up together, right? This idyllic place called Iowa. Of course, that's the plot of the, 80s, 90s movie, Field of Dreams, which, by the way, the Field of Dreams exists in eastern Iowa, and you can go and visit it if you ever find yourself in eastern Iowa, which you might or you might not. I will later on this week. So we're talking about a new heaven and a new earth. We've been through a lot of ground here in the book of Revelation. Remember where it all started? John in exile on the island of Patmos, hearing messages to the seven churches in Asia, and then being shown a vision of the throne room of heaven and the one seated on the throne and the lamb who was slain seated on the throne of heaven. And all of these figures, the four creatures and the 24 elders and the multitudes of angels and the multitudes on multitudes of people with the scroll with seven seals and the angels holding seven bowls and all of these things being poured out, showing all of the trouble that there is on earth. Of course, the trouble all started way back in the book of Genesis, where there was a garden that had a river flowing out of it that was nourishing the earth. Of course, there was a man, there was a woman. They had all of the trees in the garden to eat from except for one. The serpent comes along and convinces the two people that this food looks tasty, and if they eat it, they'll be like God. And they disobey what God said, listening to their own ambitions instead. They eat it. They realize they're naked. They hide from God. And when God discovers what's happened, he bars their way to the tree of life, exiles them from the garden, where they go out and they make trouble in God's good creation. So it's fitting here that at the end of the book of Revelation, when these atrocities have risen up out of this chaos of the sea, and the four horsemen of the apocalypse have ridden rampant over the earth, and there's been so much disease and famine and war and conflict and destruction and devastation, so much illness, so many tears, so much pain, so much suffering, so much death. All caused by God and people being at odds with one another. In Jerusalem, there is a temple. And inside of the temple, at the center of the temple, this place called the Holy of Holies, where the Spirit of God is said to dwell. And an imagery from the Old Testament, again from the book of Isaiah, from the book of Ezekiel, the prophets, you see these images of the presence of God departing the temple being destroyed. Indeed, the Roman Empire destroyed the temple in the middle of the first century AD. The people were scattered out to the ends of the earth, just as was promised in the Gospels, taking the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And so here at the end of the book of Revelation, we have an image of God no longer seated in this faraway throne in heaven, but of a new heaven and a new earth. The distinction between heaven and earth, this barrier being taken away, and the presence of God being fully present with humanity, and every enemy being vanquished. And by the power of God's presence, everything being renewed. There have been some who have, I think, misinterpreted these passages in Revelation to mean that the entire earth is going to be burned up and destroyed. Nothing is going to be left. And so, if that's the case, then why worry about things like global warming or environmental devastation? Who cares if we cut down every tree, if we deplete the earth of its resources, if we just use up 100 disposable water bottles every day and let them pollute the ocean, what's the big deal? It's all going to be burned up anyway. What difference does it make? What is it that God says from the throne? Behold, I am making all new things? No. Behold, I am making all things new. It's resurrection. It's new life. It's what's promised to each one of us as individuals on a global scale. It's interesting. Last week in my email newsletter, I made mention of the last battle from the Chronicles of Narnia. And in this, the children of Narnia, they go through a door, and Aslan, the lion, meets them. And he says to them, "Go farther up and farther in." And as they do, they get to this next place, and they see it's Narnia, but it looks different. Somehow the flowers, they smell fuller. The fruit, it tastes richer. It's indescribable how different it is. It's recognizable as the same thing that they've seen, and yet somehow it's new. The grass is greener. The mountains are somehow taller. It's like everything that was, except the way it was originally intended to be before humanity had its fall, before humanity became at odds with God. It's what happens when God's presence is fully made on earth. No longer is the Spirit of God confined to one small place in one small building in one city on earth, but instead the entire earth becomes a new Jerusalem. And the dwelling of God is found among the people. And every tear will be wiped away. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more suffering. There's no more death. There's no more war. There's no more famine. Why? Because that's what happens in the very presence of God. The gates of heaven thrown wide open. All of those jokes about St. Peter at the pearly gates being cast aside. They're funny jokes, but the pearly gates are wide open. Come and go as you please. All people reconciled to God. The sea, that watery chaos that in the early chapters of Genesis rose up and consumed the earth. Where is it? It's no more. The place where that beast of the sea, whore of Babylon, came up out of is gone. There's no chance for it to return. Now, I assume that there are still lakes and streams, so trout fishing is still a thing. You don't have to worry about that, Pete. But the sea, the dangerous, watery chaos, is no more. And then we get what, for me, is the most gripping image in chapter 22. There's another garden. There's another river. And the river flows out of it and feeds this new earth. And there are trees, the tree of life. And it brings forth 12 fruits, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles, 12 as this perfect number. But for me, it's not the fruit that gets me. It's the leaves on the tree. Because what are the leaves for? For the healing of the nations. You see, it's not as if all of this just gets wiped out and it's no more, but there's a conscious act of God to bring healing to the world. Just imagine. Imagine all of those places that are so dangerous, with governments that are so at odds with each other. And the leaves of the tree bring healing in those places. Places like Israel, Palestine, South Sudan, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, North Korea, Russia, the United States, Mexico, Venezuela, places that have suffered, and the leaves of the tree bring healing, healing to the nations. Why? Because God is fully present among them. The dwelling place of God, the throne of God, is here on earth. It's what makes the pain, the persecution, the suffering worth it. It's what makes the striving, the witnessing, the difficulty, the daily failure worth it. When every tribe and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. These are amazing images, and they seek as a bookend to where we were in the beginning is where we end up in the end. But now, instead of separation from God, instead of enmity with God, it's God's healing, it's God's presence. And what a day that will be. It's like every gospel song that you've ever heard come out of the Grand Ole Opry, in the sweet by and by, right, all these things. I'm telling you, every song finds its place in the book of Revelation. And so we've been on quite a journey together. A journey of promise, a journey of hope. But it comes back to this journey that is a challenge to each one of the seven churches that is represented here in our world today. What kind of a church are you going to be? Where are you going to place your hope? Where will your hope be found? Is it in your own safety? Is it in your own security? Is it in your ability to travel below the threshold of being noticed by the powers that be, staying safe and secure? Or is your hope found in this promise of the name of God being written on your forehead for all to see? Or living into the full presence of God, which means taking risks, which means putting it on the line, which means risking even death for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the question posed to the seven churches, the question which is posed for us here today. Where is our hope found? Where do we place our trust as a church? Is it in our own wisdom? Is it in our own financial situation? Is it in our own building? Is it in ourselves? Or is it in the promise of the presence of Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain? Is it in the promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, promising to be with those who are willing to go where the Spirit leads and to do what the Spirit requires? As our following of the Spirit goes, so goes our church. So goes the ministry of Jesus Christ at Abundant Life Reformed Church. We've seen it. God's work is done. God's purposes in the world are achieved. God makes his dwelling place among God's people. Will we be among those who are counted as the privileged, who were invited to participate, to be a part of the story that God is writing? Or will we be like the ancient church of Ephesus? Remember them from week one? Where is the church in Ephesus? Who knows? No archaeological evidence, no historical record of their presence at all, because they lost their first love. My friends, that's the challenge that is before us today in this time in our life. To be the church that God calls us to be, to risk our livelihood for the sake of the good news, or to do what's comfortable for us and slowly fall away into obscurity and irrelevance. I know what I choose. I don't want to be irrelevant. I don't want to be the last one drafted in the NFL draft, Mr. Irrelevant. I want to participate. High adventure. Sounds like fun. No risk, no reward. So thanks be to God for the challenge of the Holy Spirit in our midst, inviting us into this grand adventure of participation in what God is doing in our world, with the hope and the promise of God's dwelling place being among God's people and the healing of the nations. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the promise of all things being new, the promise of resurrection and new life, for the promise of your Spirit taking us on a grand adventure. We pray, Lord, that in this time of choice, that your Spirit would so fill us that we can make no other choice but to follow you in grand, extravagant ways. Lord, bring healing to our world. Send your Spirit to make perfect peace, passes all understanding. And may we be instruments of that peace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.